The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise and begin singing our first hymn. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and thou forgivest me the guilty of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a worthy little sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve that.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In you, O Lord, I put my trust.
Let me never be put to shame.
Deliver me in your righteousness. And cause me to escape.
Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be my strong refuge.
To which I may resort continually.
You have given the commandment to save me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked.
Out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man.
For you are my hope, O Lord God.
You are my trust from my youth.
By you I have been upheld from birth.
You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you.
I have become as a wonder to many.
But you are my strong refuge.
Let my mouth be filled with your praise.
and with your glory all the day.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord,
have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. So if I've been lazy at work, doing poor work in school or at the job, or working hard only when the teacher or boss is around, have I been stingy in paying my workers? Have I been greedy, demanding best pay for poor work? Have I worked for myself rather than for Christ and for the benefit of my neighbor? Have I cared for the property and the neighborhood, school, or church so that it was improved? Have I stolen information from another's work? Have I wasted time, food, and money, or caused others to waste time, food, and money by my neglect? Have I been stingy when it comes to giving the Lord a generous portion as thank offering for what he has given me? Have I stolen from my neighbor by not helping him in time of need? The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. So if I told the truth in court, or in school before authorities, or before my parents when I knew the truth, have I gossiped, delighted to tell others about the faults or mistakes of another, excusing myself, especially by saying that I spoke the truth? Have I gone to others to make peace if I wronged them or they me, or to correct them if I knew of their wrong? Have I flattered others or put on a front to make them think of me differently from what is true? Have I found ways gladly and willingly to explain in the best possible way those words or actions of others that hurt me? Have I offended my neighbor when things said about my neighbor have made others think badly about him or her? Have I learned to bear with the weaknesses and faults of others, covering their shame? Have I been faithful in keeping the secrets of another's heart entrusted to me in confidence? Our first reading is from the 8th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, beginning with verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning with verse 1. But then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down to the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. Here endeth our second reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fourth part, the Praetorium. When they had bound Jesus, they led him from Caiaphas to the Hall of Judgment and gave him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. It was early. They themselves did not go into the judgment hall, so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not a criminal, we would have not handed him over to you." Then Pilate said to them, "Take him then and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." So the word of Jesus was fulfilled, signifying by what death he should die. The charges they brought against him were, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Do you say this for yourself, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Do you take me for a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have given you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have fought that I should not be given over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. I was born and I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" After he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in this man." The chief priests kept laying one charge after another against him, but he answered not a word. Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many charges they lay against you." Jesus answered him not a word. Pilate was utterly amazed. He said to the chief priests in the crowd, "I find no case against this man." They pressed their charges more vehemently. "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he belonged in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him on to Herod, who also was in Jerusalem for those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was delighted, for he had long wished to see him because of what he had heard of him, and he hoped to see him do a miracle. He questioned Jesus repeatedly, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Herod and his soldiers mocked him. They put a splendid robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that same day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You have brought this man before me as one subverting the people. See, now I have examined him before you and have found nothing in this man guilty of any of your charges against him. And neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Mark this, he has done nothing worthy of death. I will have him punished and release him." Now at the feast, if the governor's custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner whom they asked for, they had then a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. He was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection in the city. Pilate knew that it was out of malice that the chief priests hand Jesus over. Therefore he said to them, "Do you want me to release for you Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" The chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate asked them again, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they cried out all together, saying, "Away with this man, and release for us Barabbas." While Pilate was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message, "Do not have anything to do with this man. I have suffered much over him today in a dream." Again, Pilate addressed them, for he wished to release Jesus. He said to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? What shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" They all cried out, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I found no guilt worthy of death in him. I will therefore punish him and let him go." They cried out all the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers of the governor led him away into the praetorium. They gathered the whole band of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a purple robe on him. When they had woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand. And they knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. They knelt down and did him homage. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I bring him out to you, that you know that I find him not guilty." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I do not find him guilty." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and I have power to release you? Jesus answered, you would not have any power at all over me unless it had been given to you from above. For that reason, he who handed me over to you has the greater sin. This prompted Pilate to go on trying to release him, but the Jews cried out, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, behold your king. They cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather a riot was underway. He took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this man. See to it yourselves. Then all the people responded, his blood be on us and on our children. Then Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, gave sentence that it should be as they demanded. He released to them Barabbas, for whom they asked, the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. He had Jesus flogged and gave him over to their will to be crucified. The soldiers mocked him, stripped him of the purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Here endeth our reading. Please rise as we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 12. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next tune. demons, based on our second reading from Mark. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. Well, today we will continue looking at the ancient hymn, O Love How Deep, and how your enemies, the demons, rage all around us. Your saints in Christ, they talked about angels during the first midweek service in Lent, and demonstrated how Jesus, in becoming a man, is both a little lower than angels, and is nevertheless the ultimate servant of all, as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Today I will talk about the darker side of the story, that is demons. Now demons are fallen angels who rebelled against God in his giving of himself to you. Demons, with Satan chief among them, seeks to undermine everything God is and does, even today. So in the sermon today, you will hear how Jesus heals a man with a demon, and how that work of healing continues still today. But there is no real discussion about angels without including demons. I mean, demons, after all, are fallen angels. They followed Satan when he was cast out from heaven. Now, they aren't TV characters. They aren't cartoons with red pointy tails and horns. They are very real and nothing to scoff at. This incident before you in the gospel reading from Mark 5 demonstrates this all too well. As an agent of death, this unclean spirit had possessed this man. He was most at home among death and the grave, and no one could do a thing about it. No number of shackles or chains could restrain this man with a demon. This poor man was completely helpless. This poor man was trapped in this awful dilemma. All the demon wanted to do was torture and hurt this man. So why do demons hate you? They hate you because God became one of you. They hate you because Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, became human flesh and blood. He came to defeat sin and death and hell. And Jesus did so by becoming one of you and one with you. So when this demon sees Jesus from afar, he knows that his gig is about up. He knows that his time may be cut short. But miraculously, he goes to plead with Jesus. What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. The demon knows who Jesus is. So he implores Jesus to swear that he would not be tormented. Now at first glance, perhaps you might think that having sympathy for this demon. I mean, after all, what did he do besides simply dwell in this man? But make no mistake about it. This demon wanted nothing more than to hurt and harm not only the man, but also everything and everyone around him. It was no game at all. In a way, you often treat your pet sins, your temptations, and even your worst sins much like a demon. After all, they aren't really all that bad, are they? Go on to other things, that sinful voice may say. Go on and deal with other problems. The demon will be there when the time comes. This, however, is not how the Lord addresses the demon. Jesus quite simply says, "Come out of the man," you unclean spirit. Now, the 20th century pastor and theologian Hermann Zassa puts it this way. Every pastor knows, or should know, that there are cases when a discussion is impossible and the only answer to a question can be that, "Be gone, Satan," which Jesus spoke not only to the devil, but also to his faithful confessor, Simon Peter. Not every question can be settled by means of a friendly discussion. It is necessary to remember that in an age which has a superstitious belief in dialogue as the infallible means of settling everything, there are questions raised by the devil to destroy the Church of Christ. Reverend Sasa made these comments in light of the arguments against women's ordination. You see, in his estimation, there comes a time when the argument and the polemics are no longer effective. What does this mean in plain English? Is that you don't argue with a demon. You simply tell it to be silent and to go away. This does not only apply to literal demons, of course. It also applies to the temptations, applies to the trivial problems and weaknesses that each of you have. You want to rationalize. You want to talk about it. You want to be reasonable, and you want to try to come up with some compromise that will allow you to keep on sinning, that will allow you to keep on living in the domain of Satan and the world. I mean, after all, it's only a little thing. How bad can it really be? How many problems can it really cause? This is why Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, at some point, you have to simply admit that the problem is nothing short of satanic and that it must be cast out. So I ask you, cast out the temptation and those little demons that seem to have caught you up in yourself. Repent. Turn around and leave them behind you. You don't need them. Christ has already died for them, so they are no longer yours, but His. Recognize that those things that you cling to, recognize those things that bring you down, and understand they cause you no end of trouble. They can be gone. As surely as the sun rises in the east, Christ has taken your sin into Himself. And Jesus Christ says to them all, "Come out of him, for he is mine. Come out of her, for she is mine." When you come to recognize the work Jesus does, your view of the world, your view of life, indeed, your view of everything begins to change. You begin to see how God orders all things, so that you might be saved by faith and trust in Him. Dear saints in Christ, come and receive the forgiveness of sins given to you from this altar. From these words, God gives you peace that passes all understanding, a conscience at rest, and a life that is restored. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
let us pray the litany. O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
have mercy on us.
O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
hear us.
O God, the Father in heaven,
have mercy on us.
O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
O God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all error.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all evil.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From the crafts and assaults of the devil.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From sudden and evil death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From war and bloodshed.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From sedition and rebellion.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From lightning and tempest.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all calamity by fire and water.
Good Lord, deliver us.
And from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation.
Help us, good Lord.
By your holy nativity.
Help us, good Lord.
By your baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Help us, good Lord.
By your agony and bloody sweat.
Help us, good Lord.
By your cross and passion.
Help us, good Lord.
By your precious death and burial.
Help us, good Lord.
By your glorious resurrection and ascension.
Help us, good Lord.
By the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our prosperity.
Help us, good Lord.
In the hour of death.
Help us, good Lord.
And in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord God.
And to rule and govern your holy Christian church.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word and in holy living.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To send faithful laborers into your harvest.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those that fall and to strengthen those who stand.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give all nations peace and concord.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To preserve our country from discord and contention.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to our nation perpetual victory over her enemies.
We implore you to hear us,
to direct and defend our president and all in authority.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To protect all who travel.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To preserve all women in the perils of childbirth.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To strengthen all and keep all sick persons and young children.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To set free all who are innocently in prison.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And to have mercy upon all men.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give and preserve to our use the fruits of the earth.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 307. Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, life that thence life also might rise again, that he was who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of heaven, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord,
thou lovest all thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee thy peace.